Life is a journey. What's your story? Well, I will tell you, I have somebody here today who has a story near and dear to my heart. Dr. Shelby Thomas is the CEO and founder of Ocean Rescue Alliance International and 1000 Mermaids Artificial Reef Project. As you know, we are very interested in marine science and the restoring of marine ecosystems and protecting our coastlines. Welcome, Dr. Shelby Thomas.
Thanks for having me.
I'm going to call you Dr. Shelby during this just because I love the name Shelby because I used to drive a Shelby.
I love the Shelby car too. Shelby Cobra's great.
Tell us a little bit about your journey. Of course, a woman in STEM is not so unusual now, but it's still very impressive. So tell us how you fell in love with the ocean, where you grew up, and how you got to be a PhD and a researcher.
Well, it's been quite the journey. It started in Daytona Beach, Florida. I grew up surfing and diving, and I really didn't start scuba diving until high school, but always have been a water baby, a nature girl. I grew up with nature, around horses. I really credit that actually to making me a lot of who I am. But the ocean's always been of an interest. So I initially went to college in pursuit of medicine, but also tied that to ocean. So I started out in undergrad at the University of Florida studying marine science and microbiology with the goal to use secondary metabolites, which are defense chemicals that marine organisms produce. And corals have these really powerful agents that we can use for cancer treatments and autoimmune diseases. And so started out with research there, joined the scientific diving program at UF, and also started teaching and monitoring our reef track. We have the third largest reef in the world here in Florida that ranges from the Keys all the way up to West Palm Beach. So we got to dive these beautiful reef systems just throughout Florida. And at the end of 2014, we had this massive disease outbreak that started wiping out corals called stony tissue loss disease. So it was really like leprosy for the coral, where we saw this tissue melting off. And here I see these corals that actually have the capacity to save humanity in a variety of different ways. And I watched as a boulder coral that's endangered, bigger than a dining room table, die in just 3 days. That's been much older than me, wasn't on the news, off of someone's multi-million dollar mansion in Miami. And in that moment, I decided to shift my whole career to restoration of these ecosystems and really being a voice for the voiceless. So switched my career to doing marine restoration. And fast forward now through my PhD program, I've gotten the opportunity to work with seagrass, oysters, mangroves, even sea urchins, but coral reef restoration is really my passion. And so that led into my PhD program, which brought me here to Tampa. I worked with the Center for Conservation with the Florida Aquarium and University of Florida, working with seagrass, coral, and scallop restoration, believe it or not. And I used genetics as a tool to inform better restoration success. Fast forward, first year of my PhD program, started Ocean Rescue Alliance International. So I had gotten to a point in my scientific career where really I realized that I could spend my whole life doing restoration, but until we really connect people back to nature and to the ocean, we're not going to create a sustained change. I ended up meeting an artist with the 1000 Mermaids Project, and we started this nonprofit, and the artist approached me wanting to put coral on a mermaid sculpture back in 2017. And he asked every scientist who's a coral biologist if he could do this. And most people said, get out of town. See you later. Nope, that's not happening. And he reached out to me because I was doing a lot of monitoring at the time and some publications. And I knew we couldn't get the coral out on that mermaid. But, you know, I figured this guy cares about coral. I'll have a coffee with him. And we got to talking, and you know, I was like, maybe we could use the mermaid sculpture to fund actual restoration and raise awareness. But better yet, maybe we could design a structure that looks like a natural reef, and I could probably get coral on that next to the mermaid. And so that's how Ocean Rescue Alliance was born. We ended up meeting with our reef builder. And so between a scientist, an artist, and an engineer, we developed this nonprofit. And what we focus on is building marine infrastructure that helps scale up nature-based solutions while connecting communities back to the ocean through art.
Wow. It's like you are an angel for, I mean, this is this 50 artificial reef structure off the coast of Hollywood Beach, Florida is part of, I love this, Guardians of the Reef. This is not a Marvel Universe multiverse production, but it's so important. I bet it speaks to young people about what we need to do so that they have a sustainable planet. Can you talk to me a little bit about the youth education part of this?
Oh, absolutely. And so, you know, that's our goal, is to create engagement, but also accessibility to marine resources. And so Guardians of the Reef project that we just deployed is really a call to action. We have this third largest barrier reef in the world that's unfortunately been dying. And so we need people to step forward as ocean warriors and become guardians of the reef. So this reef features 16 artistic sculptures that are Poseidon, Amphrite as the Greek god and goddess, protectors of the ocean, 5 marine guardians, and some mermaids, of course, to symbolize that half-human connection. But the most beautiful thing about this project is the ability to engage. So we have a program called Live Blue, which connects wellness, education, and experience to the ocean. And so we're hosting yoga, meditation, breathwork workshops on the beach that then merges into an educational talk and then a snorkel and experience in the water, where we're hosting free events to the public and for youth to come get connected to nature, but also to each other. You know, we really believe in order to heal the planet, you have to heal people too. And part of that's creating accessibility. The ocean's incredibly healing. It's why we live on this planet, period. It's the only reason why we're able to even live here. So we have to take care of it. So we're really focused on being able to engage and develop ocean stewards, especially for future generations. Our youth program called Coral Rangers is really dedicated to provide hands-on experiences for kids from even 5 years old all the way up through high school and college to get hands-on with restoration. We have technologies where you can simply screw in a coral just like a light bulb. So that makes it where a 10-year-old could be doing restoration. And that's really our goal. We want to be able to turn really hope to action and give opportunities for everyone to make a direct impact. We want, if you come to Florida, did you get to outplant a coral or an oyster or in a mangrove? We want to shift that ethos to, if you're coming here, we want to be planting seeds for future generations. So we're all about education and youth engagement, and it's critical. We need more organizations doing this work.
I just love this. You know, our community, I mean, you live in Apollo Beach, and is that where your lab is as well?
Our labs are in South Florida, but we are looking to bring more over here. We have a coral lab in Miami and in Fort Lauderdale.
And what's going on here in Tampa Bay is, you know, we have a number of people that are dedicated to this at Tampa Bay Watch, a number of organizations throughout Florida. Is Florida a leader? Now, I'm from San Diego in California. Of course, Scripps was there. Mm-hmm. I feel like Florida is a leader in advancing this coastal resilience and restoring marine environments and inspiring ocean stewardship. What's your take on that?
Yeah, you know, Florida, we have an opportunity to be an incredible leader. And I'd say certainly, for example, City of Hollywood helped finance our Guardians of the Reef project. This city is taking environmental stewardship quite seriously and actually putting funding and capacity building behind it. So we're seeing more cities, more municipal agencies, and stakeholders become engaged. So I'd say Florida is leading that. And not only that, Florida's on the front lines. I mean, we have a consistent flooding in Miami just on king tides, and we just saw the 2 hurricanes that really decimated Tampa Bay. And so it's not even an if, it's really a when, and we need to build coastal resiliency now, and we need to be using nature as a way to work with it rather than against it. So we're really excited. This project was specifically on the East Coast, but we're now bringing forward a few large initiatives for Tampa Bay that will address water quality, but also addressing coastal resilience. We want to build structures that can reduce wave energy, keep sediment retention, protect against storm surge, but also create habitat and aid in restoration.
You have something interesting going on. It's called the Champa Bay Reef. Tell us all about this. And I want to thank, by the way, Jorge Figueroa, who brought us together. He's always a wonderful steward of the community. And thank you very much for doing that. So tell us all about this.
Absolutely. So Champa Bay is our next big art initiative. So just like Guardians of the Reef, we use art as a focal point to tell a story and connect community. And so as you guys know, we had a historic wins for Tampa back in the COVID years of 2020 and 2021. We were calling it Champa Bay, 3 teams going to national competitions, the Bucks winning the Super Bowl, Lightning winning the Stanley Cup 2 years in a row. Rays going to the World Series, historic moment for the Tampa Bay region. And, you know, unfortunately, Tampa didn't get to celebrate as much due to everything going on. So what we want to do is commemorate that historic year and work with the Bucks, the Rays, and the Lightning to create an underwater snorkel park of, let's say we had one Tom Brady sculpture here. That would be the Jesus of Tampa Bay, comparable to the Keys. But, you know, more importantly, we could do the perspective trophies underwater, create a site that creates unity for Tampa Bay, but also focuses on a larger scale restoration. So we'd have an underwater art park of the sports teams commemorating the Tampa Bay wins. But beyond that, we would be addressing water quality, doing large scale projects with oyster, mangrove, and seagrass restoration, living shorelines, putting out breakwater infrastructures that will actually protect the coastline from future storms while creating habitats. So we have outlined a strategic restoration plan and actually working with local partners like Tampa Bay Estuary Program. They've spent a considerable amount of time developing a large-scale plan for the next 30 years of what needs to be done for our environment here in Tampa Bay. So we'll be engaging with stakeholders and partners like themselves and hopefully Tampa Bay Watch and other nonprofits and universities to create a localized engagement that unifies not just St. Pete and Tampa, but also doing restoration in Clearwater and in Sarasota and this whole Tampa Bay region where we can address water quality and things, issues like red tide. We want to restore the environment here and build a more resilient community and coastline for our future.
We know that art and music reveal a lot and that you can reach people through art and music. I love the idea that you are using art to reach people and communicate in a way. Where else is this done in the world or outside of Florida? Because I think this is just a brilliant, brilliant concept.
You know, and this is the thing I love about art is there's infinite stories that you can tell. And it's really been used throughout humanity to tell stories from cave paintings that talks about, you know, hunting and early civilization to there's a painting by Guernica, which is about war and power dynamics. So you can literally see a freeze frame of what's going on in humanity. Now, in terms of underwater sculptures, there's a few sculpture parks. One of them, Jason DeCaris Taylor, is a well-known artist that's deployed in a lot of different Caribbean islands and regions around the world, like Australia. They have an underwater art museum. Something that we're really differentiated from other sculpture parks is we really focus on that habitat. Our core element is actually developing projects for nature and co-created with nature, and then using art as that elevation and connection tool. So we do art that's still functional habitat. And for every art piece, we do typically 10 habitat reef modules. So it's a requirement to do restoration with us, unlike some of the other art parks. But we believe in supporting, you know, rising tides raises all ships. We want to see more of this around the world. We're happy to help other people achieve this in their regions. And we have a lot of goals. The beautiful thing about art, just as the Tampa Bay Initiative, you can imagine platforms like the NFL or NHL. Now people on their couches can hear about some oyster or seagrass restoration, and they may have never been exposed to that. So we can actually tap into audiences that may not have ever engaged with the ocean, and that's exactly who we need to reach.
You know, I have to say that Subaru impresses me in their environmental commitments, and you rarely hear of corporations actually creating engaging projects like this. Tell me a little bit about what happened in the last hurricane. I mean, we know that obviously runoff, fertilizers, and things affect coral. But during this last hurricane, is this made coral restoration even more of an issue?
Yeah, I mean, most certainly, I mean, comparable. We don't have a coral reef over here that's near shore on the Tampa Bay side. We do have deeper coral reefs here, actually, off of the Steamboat Lumps. It's in the middle of the Gulf, so that's actually really neat.
Interesting.
But not the kind of restoration that we do. Relative to hurricanes and climate impacts, really in South Florida, our biggest killers of our reef has been disease and temperature. Now, depending on where you're at in the world, those stressors and impacts vary. From the hurricanes here in Tampa Bay, you know, most of the time, every coastal community for their coastal defense measure, they'll do what's called beach nourishment, where they'll dredge or truck in sand to dump it on the beach to keep it there. Ultimately, that's a band-aid. That sand goes right back out. It's millions of dollars, millions of taxpayer dollars that's spent on this. And so in this case, even right now, St. Pete's allocated around $150 million just for this year to re-nourish the beach after this last hurricane. And so what we're proposing to do in the future is let's create reefs where they don't exist. So that doesn't mean we'll be putting coral, but what we do is build a concrete artificial structure that mimics natural reef geology We build it to a height where it reduces the wave energy, and we can more sustainably protect our coastlines and build a system that can defend it, but also help the environment in the same tune. So we really believe in leading in a way of being proactive, but also being able to work with nature. And so that's our goal. In light of all these hurricanes, we have solutions at hand that we can be doing things more sustainably and regeneratively.
Folks, if you've just joined me, I'm your host, Nanette Weiser, and I'm talking to Dr. Shelby Thomas. She's the CEO and founder of Ocean Rescue Alliance International 1000 Mermaids Artificial Reef Project. She has so many interesting ideas. She's educated us so much. I mean, we heard today on the Today Show or yesterday that Gulf waters have increased 2 degrees, accounting for some contributing more to more rain coming down. But we have learned so much today about what can be done and how art and community can come together. Dr. Thomas, please tell us how we can find out more about you and how we can support you.
Most definitely. So one of the ways, if you want to get engaged, share our messages, visit our website, oceanrescuealliance.org. We have everything from volunteering to you can create your own reef. We really believe whatever your gift is, whether you're an attorney or a social media marketer, you can use your voice for good. So our oceans need you. We'd love to work with you. So encourage you to reach out, share our messages. We're looking for support to scale our projects, and we need all hands on deck. So please do reach out.
Do you have a newsletter that they can sign up for?
Most definitely. You can find our newsletter as well as a volunteer sign up and also diver sign up form on our website. You can also find more about our Live Blue programs. We host that monthly to come engage with us. And we also are on social platforms, Ocean Rescue Alliance on Instagram and 1000 Mermaids as well. So on all of the social platforms, you can find us.
What is your dream for the future?
Ooh, I would say our dream is really to be able to build systems that support people and nature. And I think we're at such a beautiful point in humanity where there, of course, is some breaking points, but we are the most highly adapted in technology and also have so much knowledge from our past that we can intentionally design things that can be really beautiful and it can help the environment and people. And I think it's a matter of coming together to do it. So I envision a future where we can create things that are regenerative for both people and nature.
Whether you're a surfer or a beach lover, I encourage you. I will have the video links up on our site. Please watch the videos. I was mesmerized by them. I want to thank you, Dr. Shelby Thomas, for coming in today and telling us about Ocean Rescue Alliance International.
Yes, definitely. Thanks for having me.